welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome to the... Welcome to the... Okay. Threw me off.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hey, there we go.
This is your host, Joe.
There we go. Hey, how you doing?
And I'm with him. I'm Ron. It's so weird coming from this side of the...
See, I want you to do that more often. I should make you do that more often.
Well, introduce us?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know, because it's weird.
See, I haven't, like, I would say I haven't memorized, but obviously I still mess up from time to time.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your co-host, Ron, and with me today is our host, Joe.
There we go. That works too. we are, but like the one episode where you and Ellie did it, and it was just kind of, that was kind of fun. We're on our fifth issue of this Flash storyline, which is the annual number one, the second volume. If you want to check out our previous coverage, check out our last four episodes. And so this annual...
opens up in Fort Wayne, Indiana at the House of Hunan.
But it's in New York, so no. Which, okay, first off, they're in a restaurant. These burglars come in to burgle this restaurant. Like, they're... Okay, this
will
stick up.
And they ask for receipts.
Yeah, that one... I mean, I'm assuming that's just slang for the money, but...
I don't think so.
Maybe they were... Maybe they actually weren't burglars, and they were coming in to pay for everybody's meal.
You know what they were? They were accountants that were out of jobs.
Oh, maybe. That's why they're wearing the masks and the guns?
Yep.
Okay. But...
Except for this guy. He's wearing a mask with a mustache.
But Flash, like, grabs the guns out of their hands real quick. And even the one gun that was in the guy's, waistband. And he punches the one guy out, and the other guy is just standing there, like, wobbling. And Wally's like, dude, you, what's going on there? I'd never lay the hand on you. And then he falls over. And he's like, I never touched the guy. What the hell?
It wasn't me. It was the one-armed man.
And who was it? Was he the front guy?
I think he was, like the waiter or something.
It looks like
maybe
he was
he's the line cook.
No, I think he was the cashier.
Oh, okay.
Because he was the host. He was the one that they asked the receipts for.
That's right.
And he's like, Dimmock? Sure. The Death Touch.
Yeah.
And Wally's like, okay, well, I'm going to go take care of this guy back here first. And he goes and gets the driver, which I don't know if he, hit something. But whatever happened, like, the car gets tore up. And I don't think Wally did anything to it. But
no, so he's looking at Wally out of the window.
Yeah.
And I think he hits the side rail. And apparently they don't make side rails.
Oh, that makes more sense, because I just thought the car just blew
exploded
up for no reason.
I'm gonna blow it up with my mind.
Yeah. So Wally goes back to the cops back to the restaurant. Talk to the cops, and the cops just like, yeah, thank you for foiling the stick up, I guess. It's whatever. Yeah. Whatever. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
They don't. They're doing their job.
Like, well, you know, he was trying to steal, so we don't really care if he's dead or not.
Yeah. And he starts talking to the one guy that works there. I believe his name is Marshall Liu.
Marshall Law.
Is it Law?
I assume so.
L-A-U?
Sounds like it.
Okay.
I don't know. Marshall Law is a character from...
No, I know that, but okay. Like...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's what it's supposed to be.
Okay.
But
he wants to talk to Marshall. He's like, hey, so you said something about Death Touch. I'm like, what are you talking about? And so Marshall takes Wally after he, you know, Wally undresses into his civvy clothes and says, hey, I'm Wally West, the Flash.
Yeah. The replacement for Barry Allen. Barry Allen, who was the Flash, lived in Central City.
Yep.
Part of the CSI team there.
I do like that joke we got with that one. I got to keep that going. And so Marshall's like, all right, so just sit down. I'm going to prepare some tea. And Wally, being super impatient because that's Wally, he's like, I can make this quicker than you can. And he rushes over there. And he's like, I'm sorry. I'll sit down. And they just, he tells a story. Marshall tells Wally a story about the great masters from Hong Kong. And how there are two types of power, external, as in muscle and strength, and internal, you know, also your life force, also known as chi. And what you're basically doing with your chi is extending it out and using that as power. And basically what you did was use your inner chi and performed this death touch on this guy. And I've seen that, he's like, I've seen this power before from the masters. And there's, in my youth, I worked to master negative Kung. And, but I confess I lacked talent. But there was one guy who was able to master all of it. And there was a group of these masters that was able to do all this. But the government did not like it. So they kind of attacked us. Now, instead of being a bunch of masters, there's only a handful left. And so Marshall's like, look, why don't you go to Hong Kong, take this coin, the silver dollar, go to Hong Kong and look for, what was his name? The Wizened Sage. And the Wizened Sage gave him this dollar when I left for America. And he told me to give it to a man dressed in red. It will come back to me, or so he said. And there was earlier in the book, Wally got a fortune cookie, and I think, what did the fortune say? Something about
he who goes to bed with itchy butt wakes up with smelly finger.
A long journey leads to lost relatives.
Oh, my bad.
Close enough. And he's like, man, it's a good thing I had that fortune today then, huh? And then Marshall's like, fortune cookie, ha. Like, they are printed at a bakery in Hoboken, you know, owned by Italians.
Like, it's, they started in whatever. Chicago, so it makes sense.
Yeah. So, Wally's like, all right, well, before I can go to Hong Kong, I gotta get some sleep. And Marshall's like, go to sleep here and just go in the morning. And so he, you know, he does that. He wakes up and heads back to his mansion, and he goes to tell Connie. And now I know you're wondering who the hell Connie is. So am I.
Okay, thank goodness, because I was wondering who Connie was. And what's Connie going to do when Tina shows up?
Again, so when I was trying to find when this was printed, this annual, because again, we're reading it from the, what's the title of this trade?
Savage Velocity.
So it's the first 18 issues plus the annual.
1987 was when this one was printed?
Correct. Yeah, it was. But I was trying to find the, like, month.
Oh, gotcha.
Because what I found on the DC Universe app says it was printed in January, but the first issue, number one, didn't come out until, like, March or April.
Yeah.
So already that's not even lining up, especially since he's got his mansion.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, maybe this takes place later on. But the problem is, I think, because in, like, October is when the Millennium miniseries hits, and which we're not covering those in these. Those are the ones after. And Tina is still a thing around that time. So I don't know if this, maybe it came out in December, and, or, I don't know.
Maybe Connie was just somebody they picked up, you know, for a little bit of Ding Dong Ditch.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it's the in-between Tina going to say goodbye to Jerry and coming to him. And either way, Wally's a man whore.
Wally's fast, okay? So he had to,
yeah, he is. So, also, there's a lot of, I don't know if you read, I know you didn't read this whole issue.
Correct.
But did you read this page? Because he is, God, Wally, you need to learn. Man, like, you can't say shit like that anymore. talk about how women are just basically just supposed to stay in the kitchen.
You think she'd have... Wait, let's see. Oh, chicks. They're so insecure. Take Connie, Texas girl, model. She's doing a Ponds shoot next week. You'd think she'd have a little self-confidence. I mean, I know what chicks can do. Women like Donna Troy or Starfire, but those are exceptions. Starfire's not even human. The truth is, most women are pretty insecure. It's the way they were brought up. But it's also biological. I mean, just look at the physical differences. Men are hard-edged and muscular. Women are soft and curved. Men do the hunting and fighting. The women tend to the hearth and raise the children. That's just the way it is.
No, dude. Wow. No. It's not. And not, well, maybe it was in the 80s. Not anymore, bud. I mean, it wasn't back then either, but that's not the point.
I really just wish there would have been, like, one of the, like, you know, psychics around him when he said that, or when he was thinking that. And then just,
oh, God, they would have just, like, punched him in the face.
Exactly.
Knocked him upside the head.
No, not even start right there, but just go tell all the rest of the girls what he said.
Yeah, he would not have made it out all right. But he gets to Hong Kong, apparently super fast.
To Starfire's face.
Oh, Starfire punched, yeah, no. She would have.
She would rip his anus out.
Donna Troy wouldn't have any of it.
Rip his anus out through his throat.
So he's walking around trying to talk to people. He comes up to this one guy just sitting there.
Lord Raiden.
And this guy speaks amazing English. So good on him. Like,
yes, sir. How can I help you?
Yeah. But anyway, so he's going down by the docks, and trying to find anybody who speaks English. Trying to find this. Wizened sage, and this group of guys is like, hey, look at this stupid American, let's take his money, let's fool him and take his money and try to beat him up. Obviously doesn't do any good. And there's this group of kids running around, and one of them is like, hey, the wizened sage is go to this street and walk north until you see the staircases and blah 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 blah. And Wally's like, well, how do you know that? I don't know. And then they all run off. So, obviously, you know, magic is working its ways. And Wally gets to house, mansion, I don't know, this place. And he knows it's the right place because the silver dollar in his pocket is getting hotter. Sure.
Right.
And he walks in and he sees these two guys fighting. One of them is the wizened sage, and the other one is this guy with a bunch of tattoos.
How do you know which one's which?
Because I read the issue. Bam!
Fuck you. I read part of it.
No, you're fine. But then the sage uses his magical abilities and forms a table with these, I don't know what the nunchucks, what this weapon's called, but it's got the... like the three sections and like chains.
I think it's still considered a nunchuck.
Is it a nunchuck?
Yeah.
I thought it had a special name because, god damn it. Because it's got three sections of it. I'm not 100% sure.
Sansetsukon?
Okay. I would not know that.
Or a Sanjugon? It just means a three section. It's a Chinese flail. It consists of three wooden or metal staffs connected by a metal something or another.
Chains or rope or whatever. Yeah. Okay.
So Sanjugon.
Cool.
Coiling Dragon Staff.
Okay. That actually, cool. I like that one. Cool. Yeah, that's a better name.
Well, that's what that means.
Oh, yeah. Nice. So the sage takes him up to his house, this palace, basically. And in there is this, he looks like a general. But his name is The Voice. He's another great master. And they're having a talk about... what was the talk about? Trying to get the... I want to say like the sages to back into the system. Like basically back into the government.
Yeah.
And the wizened sage, who is... I want to say he is... He's not the most powerful, because I believe later on, at one point, he does mention that the voice here is actually more powerful than him and could actually take him out if he wanted to. But he is... All the sages are respected. and they all work in tandem with each other. So trying to get every sage on the same page is the ultimate goal, but the wise and sage obviously is not on the same page as this guy. And he kind of threatens them, sort of threatens them. The sage is just, wise and sage is just like, eh, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And so they go the next day, and the sage is starting to teach Wally how to do things, basically. Like, I think he says it takes him 10 days to learn how to stand, and that's all he did. And the wise and sage is like, man, you're a pretty quick study. What took you 10 days, it took me 7 years. Like, good job. There is a, later on that evening, they are having like a dinner. Well, they're having a meal. And this individual called Lin May, who is a servant of the sage, is coming by. And Wally is,
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, he basically, like, tries to convince the sage to let her stay and have dinner with them. And he's like, that's not proper here. Like, this is not America. You can't do that. And I want to bring that up because at night, when Wally is sleeping, Lin May comes into bed.
Hey.
Like... I don't, dude, like, Wally's a fucking man whore.
Yeah.
So he's, next day, he's working, you know, working some more stuff. And the sage throws the coin at him, and Wally catches it, like, because he's really good. And then he, because the entire time, he's supposed to be there to learn the, learn about his inner chi, and also learn the death touch, the Dimmak. And so Wally's like, hey, just out of curiosity, Sage, did you send Lin May into my bed last night? And this surprised him. He's like, wait, what? No, what? And they're like, no, last night. Did you send her to me last night? And he's like, oh, no. The old fool. And so he was like, we got to get back to the house right now. Like, that wasn't Lin May.
And Wally's like, well, it felt like Lin May.
So they get up to the house, and the voice is there. And he's basically... Well, they also find all the guards dead, so, you know.
Yeah.
But the voice is there. So it's a fight between the sage and the voice. And this is one where... Flash should stay out, shouldn't do anything, but he is the Flash, and he has to actually try. The voice kind of, like, takes some of Flash's, like, aura away. I can't remember exactly. Like, basically, he's taking some of his power away to where he can't really, like, move. And the Wise and Sage, trying to save Wally, goes in for the killing blow on the voice, like, takes this,
and does
his sword in, chops into his head, but at the same time, the size that the voice has goes into the wise and sage's gut. Now he doesn't die, which is good, but he's definitely on his, like, his way to being killed. And then we meet the Dance of the Revolution.
Dance, Dance Revolution?
No, just the Dance of the Revolution.
Oh, my bad.
Who is the girl that Wally apparently fucked last night?
Maybe.
Allegedly. I don't know. But she is this blind... I'll say she's a blind dancer, because she moves like a dancer. And she has this, like, whip thing that she's able to use... And Wally is, you know, doing what he can to try and stop her, but, you know, she's had years to practice and he's had 10 days of learning stuff, and she hasn't really learned, he hasn't really mastered anything yet.
Plus, he keeps thinking about how much he wants to bang her again.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, because he is a fucking hornball. But then he actually, like, it clicks in his head. All right, look, you know, I gotta study my chi. Like, the coin that he was holding, like, falls out of whatever pocket he had it in. And he's like, oh, that's right. All my lessons. So he gets his chi, he moves it up from his abdomen into, like, his neck to, like, strengthen his neck. And then he breaks the hold that he had, that she has on him. And he uses a dim mock, uses the touch.
Gives her the dead leg.
And he's like, all right, you need to stop fighting me. You're going to die soon if you keep this up. Like, we can save you, but the more you try to fight it, the more you're going to die. And so he's just like, he's standing there waiting for her to try and attack, and he knocks her out real quick. And she's still fighting. But she, you know, doesn't... He can't convince her. Like, he's trying to convince her that he is...
just stop fighting.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I don't want to hurt you.
You're already dying. Like,
yeah.
Just stop.
He fucking death punches her kidney. And...
And she's like, I can't, like, we will be, like, what do you say? If we get you to a doctor now, we can reverse
the
dim mock. We can save you. And she's like, no, we have doctors too. I will return to China. But then Marshall Lau or Lee or Lal or however you say his name is there too. And he's like, you know what? I'm here. I can save you, I guess. But it turns out that Wally actually didn't give her the death touch because he didn't know it. So he was, you know, just lying, which, hey, good for you. But then Marshall comes over and saves the wizened wizard, or wizened sage, sorry. Because I know we didn't mention it earlier, but the sage is hundreds of years old. He's been around for some time, which also means Marshall is a couple hundred years old. Then we also find out that Lin Mei is Marshall's daughter. So, yay?
No. Not actually his daughter.
No, Lin Mei is.
Oh.
The dance was not his daughter.
Oh, gotcha.
Wally thought she was his daughter and that
gotcha.
The voice was his son. It was a story that Marshall had said earlier about how he left America but left his family here. And so he came back and was like, oh, well, his daughter's alive, so maybe I can go find my son, too. So he does make it back to his mansion, and Connie's there. Yay, Connie. Apparently she didn't go to her shoot. And so now he's gonna go unpack all of his things and do stuff with her, I guess. He's a fucking hornball. I don't know. Like, this is... I said it earlier, I've never known Wally to be like this, but...
Yeah.
It is what it is. That's how we end this issue.
Thank you for listening to Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or just send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Flash story.